All righty. Baptism next Sunday. If some of you want to go out, and as you usually do, go out and spend after the worship, morning worship service, going out, set up a place at the north end, you know, the parking lot that's there. You know, if you've got a, somebody's got a pop-up tent, you can put up on the beach there. As long as the wind is not heavy wind. If those tents then become kites. Ask me how I know that. In fact, mine is up in the top of a tree at Clark Hill Reservoir because of that. They sail very well. We spend the whole afternoon there, and then we'll gather about 5 o'clock on the beach and do the baptism. Not too late to get signed up for that, or someone in your family needs to talk about being baptized. It's a blessing. But anyway, glad you're here today. Today's a special day in a lot of ways, and you'll see more of that in just a minute. But I've asked Brother Bob to come today and the Reverend Bob Tice, to come and briefly share his testimony with us today. Brother Bob was pastor of Tabernacle Baptist Church for 19 years. I've known Bob since I was a child. I met Bob, yeah, I'm 58. I've known Bob a long time. In fact, there's nobody here probably that has known Bob longer than I have. I've known him since I was a kid. And he used to run around with 3 other guys, and they were billed as the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. It's true, isn't it, Bob? I'm telling the truth. This time, he was with Lonnie McGee, with L.J. Lockjaw Chambliss, and John Beam, all men that I've known all my life. They've all gone on to be with the Lord, Brother Bob's 86 years old and served the Lord for a long time. So, Brother Bob, come on up here. I'm going to put this microphone on you. If you'll give me just a second, I want to make sure I get this recorded in the spirit of John Beam for the days to come. Here. Yeah, stick that in your pocket. Just put it in your pocket on the side.
I'm gonna be on television? Uh-oh. Yeah.
Bob, you're going to be at places you've never traveled before.
I'm telling you, ain't many of those. Thank you, Dusty. Let me say this. I thank God that I was invited to do this, because God's been good to me. And let me start off. Psalm 34:4. That is my favorite verse. It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Well, I got a few things written down because I know I wouldn't have time to do it all. I'm just cutting through. So much happened, I may skip get time all out of whack, but I'll try not to. I was born August 4, 1926 in Telford Hospital. Used to be on Park Avenue in Drayton. I went to school. The first school I went to was 37th Street School. I went to 38th Street School. I went to Oglethorpe Avenue School. I went to I guess that's enough. I told some folks I went to Arthur Park Baptist Church 9 months before I was born. That's been a good little while. Well, anyway, you're going to lock that thing and you're going to nail it down for me. Thank you. All right. And I was 15 years old when a Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. I was living in Plant City, Florida at that time. My home is Savannah. I lived in Plant City, Florida. I lived on a farm. And while I was living down there at that farm, I went to Lone Oak Baptist Church. There was a fellow named Al, somebody would come out of church here a while. I forgot his last name. Now, he knew that Plant City Baptist Church, not far from Tampa. Anyway, I went there and I was 15. And then I moved back to Savannah, and when I was 17, I joined the Marines, United States Marines in World War II. I was doing the Paris Island, all that kind of stuff, you know. You folks know about, you Marines don't know about Paris Island. I could get bogged down there, but I guess I'll try not to. Anyway, we left San Diego headed for Iwo Jima. But they secured the island, so we didn't go to Iwo Jima. They dropped off at Pearl Harbor. I stayed there, did gardening and washed pots for about 6 weeks. And we left there and went to Guam. Stayed on the island of Guam for 8 months. And this is right after the Japanese was there. Anyway, that's a long story too. But anyway, I was scheduled to go to Japan. I didn't know it. They're supposed to land in Japan in October. But they dropped the bomb in August, so we didn't go. And I said it many times, I give God and Harry Truman credit for me not being burned in hell right now. What in the world has Harry Truman got to do with it? Well, I wasn't a Christian at the time. And we were scheduled to hit Japan in October. We did in August. And I said, well, what's Harry Truman got to do with it? He was the president of the United States at that time. And he's the one that said, drop the bomb. He wanted to say, do it. So I said, I give God and Harry Truman credit. I've been martin and burning in hell. I wasn't a Christian. But anyway, while I was down there in Florida, I went to Lone Oak Baptist Church. And I stayed on Guam eight months, and I went to China. Stayed 8 months in China. Got to go up on the Great Wall of China. That's something that most folks hadn't done. I got to go up on that wall in China. All right. While I was going there to the Lone Oak Church, after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, or before the bomb Pearl Harbor, when they brought the bomb on Pearl Harbor, and then there was a lot of boys there joining the Navy, go to that church, Lone Oak Baptist Church, and most of them were about 17, 18 years old, and they were just graduating from high school. And I've seen walking aisles, the young people walking aisles at almost every service. And that was, come on, was crying, all the kind of stuff. And I said, I'm going to do that to myself. I didn't have no emotions about crying. And what I saw was, I thought, this is my own thing, I thought that I would have a great emotional experience. That's not the way it was. It might sound kind of strange, but when I found out it wasn't going to happen, it did. So anyway, I moved back to Savannah, but I started going to Burkholder Church. There's a motel there now on Cross Road, whatever. Anyway, I'll say this, that I believe this, that there's a lot of people right now, some of them may be in this building this morning, that felt about the same way that I did, about when you asked the Lord to save you, expect some kind of a big emotion thing to happen to you. It never did happen. But I went to Sunday school, not every Sunday, but I went pretty good for a lost man. And I believe that there's a lot of people in the same fix that I was thinking about then. Let me tell you something right now. If you're here this morning, and you are not absolutely sure that you're saved and going to heaven, you better not leave this building without making it right. Because eternity is long. I preach sin, black, hell, hard, and eternity long. And I believe that's the way it is. Anyway, make a long story. I got to hurry up here. Make a long story short. I found this track. I kept looking, trying to find. I guess in my own way, I was seeking God, but didn't know what I was doing. But I found this track. It says, God's Temple Plan of Salvation. I read that track, and also I come across a little pamphlet here and give 5 reasons how you can know that you're saved. One of them was you the desire to do what God wants you to do, and that the little book in I call it John 1, 2, 3 for me. First John, second chapter, third verse says this, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And the author of this little book that I had pointed out that this word keeping the commandments here is not talking about 10 commandments. In this book, it's talking about just doing what God wants you to do the best you can. And if a person loves to be with God's people, loves to serve God, well then, and that's continue. Not one thing, you continue, your whole lifestyle is loving God. If you have that, you can know that you're saved. Well, I said now, I love to go to church, but I Romans 10, I said, whosoever to call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I'll call on it, but nothing happened. I think that big emotion didn't happen to me. And so I read this, and I read that this verse here, and I read that little section in that pamphlet talking about the same thing. And finally, I looked at the Bible, looked at that little booklet, and I said out loud, I guess, I was in my bedroom 2 o'clock in the morning. When it happened, I said, you know, according to that, I am saved. I said it out loud. Nobody in the room but me. And I started boo-hooing and crying. I had that great emotion that I wasn't expecting it was going to happen, but it did. When I found it wasn't going to happen, it didn't happen. And so I stayed on my knees by my bed for an hour or so. And then I got up and I told my mom about it the next morning. And she was so excited. She was glad. But anyway, there was a boy out there at work. He went to Crest Hill Baptist Church. He and I talked a lot about the Bible. So he was a Christian. I knew he was a Christian. I could tell by the way he lived that day in the mill. And he talked about his church and so on. And as it happened, my pastor at that time, W.J. Caldwell, you remember him, W.J. Caldwell, he was out of town. And whenever he got back, I went and see him. And I told him about my experience. But before he got back, the boy that I was talking about belonged to the church, Crest Hill Church, he said, I'll go with you. So you don't know my pastor. We have those things, you know. I can't remember the preacher's name now. Anyway, he talked to me. I went out to his church and I talked to him. But I wasn't satisfied until I talked to Brother Coswell. Well, then I called Brother Coswell, and he said, Brother Bobby said that if you hadn't believed in God, you'd never had that experience. So that told me right there that my life was changed. Because I enjoyed being among God's people, and I still do. You know something? Since Tabernacle people turned the church over to you folks, you don't have church on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Over three some odd years, there's been two nights I did not go to church somewhere. I've been in 47 different churches in the Savannah Association. Now that's pretty good, I guess, isn't it? 47 different churches, all right. Anyway, but then I knew I was saved after that. And I got baptized the next Sunday. And after that, there was a fellow named Barney Goodwin. Everybody ever know him? Barney Goodwin? He had a quartet going. And some kin to him had a quartet going called Chuck Wagon Gang. And he heard that there's a guy over there, Burkholder, who plays the guitar. That was me. And so he come over there and asked me about his guitar player wasn't doing right. So he asked me if I'd come over there and join this quartet. I didn't know what I was doing. I'd do anything for Jesus. So I did. And we went to several churches picking the guitar and singing like, and everybody heard it said it sounded like Chuck Wagon Gang. We did. I played the guitar. My sister sang soprano, and just Barney and his wife sang alto and bass. All right. But anyway, I was just thankful that I was able to do that. And anyway, I started going with him. He had a meeting at the Union Mission on Liberty Street on Monday night, and Fred Wessels over there on East Broad on Thursday night. I went to Monday night and Thursday night with him. And we had different preachers coming in there speaking, and I spoke a lot of time. I held prayer meeting in the homes, getting ready for revival and so on. And everybody heard me said, Brother Bob said, you better begin to check up on this thing. The government might be calling you to preach. I didn't think too much about it. But then later on, I went down to Orlando, Florida on my vacation. And while I was down there, my mother's sister lived. They went to visit her. And there's a man on the radio who was a preacher. And he was an evangelist. He was in town that day. And they had arrested him, put him in jail, this preacher. Some trigger happy cop arrested him because he didn't say they didn't have a restroom facility for his patrons. Unbeknownst to him, the preacher had made arrangements with a used car and the service station around the area for his patrons to use their rest facilities. And so they let the preacher out of jail the next morning. But he was talking on the radio about he had led a jailer to the Lord, just like the Paul did, led the jailer to the Lord. All right. So anyway, and so I just beginning to wonder about that. I said, you know, everybody tell me I ought to check up on it. So I began to check up. And anyway, I said, I'm going to go down there and hear him tonight. He had revived me, and the preacher was blind. You said he was blind. So I was going to roll back into his head, you know. He was blind as a bat, Joe Go, and said, anyway, he was a, thanking God he was able to lead the jailer to the Lord the night before. And so I'm going to go down there and hear him. But I went down there and went to his to the tent where he was preaching. And while I was in there, while the music and all making happens on, he said, were the minister and the congregation lead us in prayer? I thought nothing of it. He called about three times. But anyway, he said, will the minister lead us in prayer? Well, then finally he called on somebody he knew was there by name, and he called the name, they led into prayer. After the services, he said, you notice I didn't take any offering. He said, God knows my needs, and if you hear tonight and you're God's people, and God leads you to give me something, well, you do it. And I believe that if you'll do that, God will furnish all I need. That's kind of unusual for a preacher. Anyway, he said, so I went up and I gave him a couple of dollars back in the 50s, this was. And so I went, come by there, and there's about, I got maybe a dozen or so people behind me after the end of the line. And when it got to me, he hung on to my hand, he wouldn't turn me loose. You could tell he's holding like it's tight. He said to me, he said, why didn't you lead us in prayer? Well, was I supposed to? He said, aren't you the minister? That told me that all these people were talking about me and said, oh, you ought to check up. Well, I checked up, and man, from that day forward, I know God called me and used that preacher to show it to me. And I believe, I can't be sure, but I think his name was Buddy Tucker. I think that was his name. Anyway, he was leaving. He had a surgery the next, I went back the next night, and he was leaving the fold of his revival was all over. He was going back up somewhere in Ohio somewhere. I wrote him a couple of letters. I never did hear from him anymore. I just want to say, though, that I believe that if a person is saved, he knows it, and be sure that God knows, I mean, that God knows that you love him by the way you act, if you keep his commandments. And right now, I say I've been to 47 churches since I turned this church over to you here. 47 churches, and I have a. Wait a minute, I get it right in a minute. I pastored five churches, all in the Savannah Association, over a period of about 52 years. So I've been going. So they got to use that blind preacher. And my friend, LJ, one of them, said, that wasn't no call, that was a command. Can you imagine, blind preacher, never seen him before. It was, as far as I'm concerned, it would have been the same thing if he hadn't been blind. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for all of us. May pray God that you have blessed us. We may do what you want us to do in such a way that will bring glory to you and bring us all closer together. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on, Russell. Well, Bob, I didn't lie to you. I just didn't tell you everything today. Because today is, we have declared today as Bob Tice Day. And we want to tell you how much we love you. And Russell's here in the church, the Tabernacle Church, for years. I asked him to come and say a word, and then we're going to play a video and some pictures that I think you'll find very entertaining.
One of the things I was going to say, to kind of loosen it up a little bit, Dusty said that Brother Bob was, well, I'm getting up there too. The Brother Bob was 86 years old. But if you wonder what keeps him so young, there's an old lady here that's older than Brother Bob. And Brother Bob used to point out all the time, there's an older lady here. She's 4 days older than Brother Bob. And that's Betty Benoit, and she was a member of Tabernacle Baptist Church. But one of the things I would like to say about Brother Bob, when he came to Tabernacle, he came here as what we would term interim pastor. One of our pastors had moved on, and so we called Brother Bob to come here as interim. And it went on, and it went on. What Brother Bob didn't know was, we weren't looking for a pastor. We had found him. But it went on and on and on. So finally, somebody just went out there and changed the sign, and where it said interim pastor, it said Pastor Robert L. Tice. And for, like you say, 19 years, he led us here at Tabernacle Baptist Church before we turned it over to Sycamore. And let me tell you, there was never a man that loved his people, loved the Lord, loved God's Word any more than Brother Bob. And the people loved Brother Bob. He did great.
Now those guys that he ran around with, the four horsemen, they're part of the cloud of witnesses today. Brother Bob, they're up there rooting you on, man. And great men of God for many, many years. If somebody will catch the lights back there, we want to play a... we've got some pictures and some video that I think you'll find very interesting. And as Fred said to Bubba, hit it.
My Savior leads me. Who have I to ask beside? How could I doubt His tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me. And cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread. You lead me, you keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart. And surely your goodness and mercy will follow. Savior leads me. All the fullness of His love, all the sureness of His promise, in the triumph of His blood. And when my spirit clothed in mortal wings, its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to Your heart, and surely Your goodness and mercy will follow me. You lead me, keep me from falling. You carry me close to Your heart, and surely Your goodness and mercy will follow me.
First song I ever learned to play on the guitar. You hear that? I think I remember that word.
I was thinking of another song.
A7C.
Okay.
The prettiest girl I ever saw was flipping cider through a straw. It was at the fair, the county fair. I spent 3 bales of cotton there. I looked at her, how I did gaze. She had the pretty winning ways. He says to me, now don't you know that sipping cider is all the go? I said to her, if that be true, may I sip cider here with you? So cheek to cheek and jaw to jaw, we sip cider through a straw. But best of all, that straw did slip, and I sip cider from her lips. And now I've got a mother-in-law, I'm sipping cider through the straw. I bought a goat, his name was Ben. I got him for his precious skin. That goat got loose about a 9:30, and in a red shirt come off the line. I caught that goat by the wolf at back and tied him to the railroad track. He bucked and bowed, riding lane, all round the curve, came a passenger train. He bucked and bowed, with might and main, called up the church, and flagged the train. They like that. Went on a cruise down to, under the chair. Went down to Bahamas. That's not it. And there was a lady on that tour from a church somewhere in Alabama. I went with a preacher from California. I heard about it. I signed up and went with him. And anyway, she was on that trip, and she sang soul around the churches in her home, somewhere in Alabama, I've got well. And she sang this song, and I made her sing it again, and I recorded it. It's a pretty song. Then I played it back and forth and got the words. You know? So this is a song called A Brush. Mm-hmm. They've heard it before. Okay. Life started out like a canvas, and God started painting on me, and I took the paintbrush from Jesus and painted what I wished to see. The colors I painted kept objects were all out of sight. I had made a mess of my painting, and my way now seemed so unwise. So I gave my painting to Jesus, to Jesus. Oh, the colors of each piece was so wrong. In the markets of earth it was worthless, but his name made the paper, but his brush made the painting belong. He worked with no condemnation, never mentioned the mess I had made. Then he dipped his brush in the rainbow, and he signed it, the price has been paid. When I gave the brush back to Jesus, when I gave the brush back to him, he started all over life's canvas to a good message. First one I called it, He Paid Your Due. He paid your due. Okay? Now this is kind of a personal testimony for me. Can't get the right key. Again, D. The Lord teaches us in His holy word. Dear Lord, when I pray that you have heard the message from God of Jesus, His Son. He died on the cross to save everyone. Oh, sinner, please listen to this call. Jesus is calling for your Lord. He is pleading, He wants to save you. Created man and he was pleased. Man turned away, then God was grieved. God said the soul of sinners shall die. Those friends we know the Lord does not lie. Jesus looked down and saw man was lost. He said to the Father, I'll pay the call. God sent him down this world to redeem. Oh, friends, please listen, it's not just a dream. If you don't have Jesus in your life today, the debt of death you someday must pay. But if you will turn now and trust in His grace, you'll be able to stand when you see His face. Please listen to this call. Jesus is calling.
calling for your own. He is pleading, he wants to save you. Oh, sinner, listen, he paid your dues. Dear sinner, please listen to the story I tell. You're condemned already to go to hell. Condemned, dear brother, not because of your deed. Condemned because you haven't believed. That's the gospel, isn't it?
Yes, gospel. Amen.
I was once a pilgrim, wandering to and fro. I thought that I was happy on what I did go. But there was something missing along the path I trod. Now I know the missing link was the Son of God. Oh, won't you turn to Jesus? He's all the world to me. He gives us life abundant, and he gives it free. You have but to ask him down upon your knees. The joy he gives will last you through eternity. Oh, sinner, listen to me as I tell you now. The road that I once traveled wasn't right somehow. But when I realized that death lay just ahead, Jesus came and changed my life, and by him I am led. I know it seemed like shorter, I know it seemed like hard at first for you to understand. But sinner, listen to me, it's simple and it's grand. Just exercise your faith in him, do it now today. For he is standing ready to help you all the way. He promised in his holy word that if we'll seek, we'll find. Believe his word, seek him today. Please don't leave you blind. I know he'll save you if you'll ask. That because he loves you so. And when he does, my friend, you want the world to know.
Amen.
That's the gospel. Come on, man. This one here that I wrote, been a good while ago, 1996, I wrote down the date here. I started singing this and using this tune. The tune just come to me. And after I got finished, I found out that it's the words to a song that the tune to a song we already know.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'm not going to change this because there are a lot of songs that's got the same tune with different names. Right?
Yeah.
So this one here, I call this one, He Came Down From Heaven.
Okay.
Okay. So remember this one, this is my last one. Right now. I know Jesus loved me. I know. My God is so holy that he cannot love sin. So he sent down his spirit to cleanse me within. I listened to the message that he sent to me of simple salvation. I was saved in my bedroom at 2 o'clock in the morning. I wrote a song, I don't know when, but anyway, this is kind of a story of it, really. Okay. I was saved one night, wonderfully saved from sin. The moment I called on Jesus, He took me in. I then began to pray for friends who were still astray. I prayed that they would be saved just like me. I know that they'll be saved if they will only believe and cast all their cares on Jesus. He will their fears relieve. Read, read, and believe. That God meant that you all have heard. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word.
Amen.
All these songs are biblical foundation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the best songs.
That's right. So I ain't got all of them.
Very good. Now I have a new song somewhere.
Brother Bob is also, he has written songs, he's a musician, he's a preacher, but something he has never been is a husband. He's had a couple of close calls along the way, and as a teenager, I remember John Beam, who was my mentor, my father in the ministry. I remember him teasing Brother Bob all the time. He always had another woman lined up for Brother Bob. But I guess he carried all that information to heaven with him, Brother Bob, what you say. Today we honor Brother Bob and have a couple of things we want to give him. That's right. That's right. Now, come on up here, Brother Bob, and stand beside me. Brother Bob was in a wreck this week, and that's why he's kind of bruised up here. But Lord watched over him. I want to give you this certificate of appreciation today. Reverend Bob Tice, on the occasion of Bob Tice Day here. But Bob, we honor you, and I've also got a Bible that we picked out for you. But I want you to look at it, and we didn't even know we were doing this, but look how similar these Bibles look. We looked all over to get this Bible for Bob, and it's the same one that I have. But I want you to, I want to read to you, wrote a little inscription in here for you, Brother Bob. Dear Bob, you've been a faithful servant of the Lord all my life, from my earliest recollections. You've been an example for us to follow. May God bless you on this day with a well done, good, and faithful servant. And may He also give you many more days to serve Him.
Amen.
Love in Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, it's our custom to lay hands on people and pray for them. So if you'd like to come down here as we lay hands on Brother Bob and pray for him today, come on. Yeah, we ambushed you, Bob. How's it feel?
Okay.
It feels okay?
It's well, later right here.
Amen. Well, Bob, we anoint you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, right now, we want to thank you for this special servant of yours. As we pause and thank you, Lord, for the miraculous work
that you do in a man's life. Lord, how you watched over him in your grace that went before and kept him, Lord, to a time when he could receive Jesus as his Savior. Lord, thank you for him. But Lord, I thank you that in faith he asked you to come into his life, and his life was changed. And Lord, I thank you for the signs and wonders that you've done in his life. A blind man that can pick him out and know that as God was speaking through that man and speaking prophetically over Bob's life. I thank you for that.
Amen.
And today, Lord, we want to thank you for the servant that you have given to us. The shepherd that he has been. The preacher of the gospel that he has been. And on this special day, Lord, we honor you, Lord, as we honor him. Lord, as he is a reflection of Jesus, a luminary, a reflector of the grace, the love, the forgiveness, and the anointing of Jesus upon a man's life. May you bless him today, Lord, in a special way. Lord, may he feel that, and know how much his body of believers right here, your body of Christ that surrounds him right now, that has their hands laid upon him, Lord, how much we love him and thank you for him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, folks.
Amen. Amen. Stay right where you are. And let me say to you two other things. We're going to immediately go over to the fellowship hall where we have some cake to share together. So come on over there and share the cake with Brother Bob. We would like to get those cards from you today. Or if you have an offering to bring, I'm going to preach. I won't forget that. the baskets are up here and in the back, so make sure you drop them in before you go. Okay? Join us on over on the other side.
I think it does.